He had never met a famous artist before, nor someone whose ideas were apparently so in accord with his own. In the course of their brief meeting, Nietzsche discovered Wagner's deep love of Schopenhauer. Wagner, flattered by the attentions of the brilliant young philosopher, turned on his considerable charm to the full. The effect on Nietzsche was immediate and profound. He was overwhelmed by the great composer, whose flamboyant character was at least the equal of his flamboyant operas. 2 months later, Nietzsche was offered the post of professor of philology at the University of Basel, in Switzerland. He was still only 24, and had not yet even taken his doctorate. Despite his misgivings about philology, this was an offer he could not refuse. In April 1869, he took up his post at Basel, and at once began giving extra lectures in philosophy. He wished to combine philosophy and philology, the study of aesthetics and the classics, welding together an instrument for analyzing the faults of our civilization, no less. He quickly established himself as the rising young star of the university, and became acquainted with Jakob Burckhardt, the great cultural historian, who was also a member of the university faculty. Burckhardt, who was the first to elaborate the historical concept of the Renaissance, was the only mind of a calibre similar to Nietzsche's among the faculty, and perhaps the only figure Nietzsche was to remain in awe of throughout his life. It's possible that Burckhardt might, at this crucial stage, have exercised a steadying influence on Nietzsche, but his patrician reserve was to prevent this. And besides, the role of father figure had already been taken by a far less steadying influence. In Basel, Nietzsche was only 40 miles from Tribschen, where Wagner had taken up residence with Cosima, Liszt's daughter, who was at the time still married to a mutual friend of Liszt and Wagner, the conductor von Bülow. In no time Nietzsche became a regular weekend visitor to Wagner's sumptuous villa on the shores of Lake Lucerne. But Wagner's life was operatic in more than just musical, emotional, and political terms. He was a man who believed in living out his fantasies to the full. Tribschen was like an opera in itself, and there was never any doubt about who was playing the leading role. Dressed in the Flemish style, a blend of the Flying Dutchman and Rubens in fancy dress, Wagner strode beneath the pink satin walls and rococo cherubs in his black satin breeches, tam-o'-shanter, and effusively knotted silk cravat, declaiming among the busts of himself vast oil paintings of the same subject, and silver bowls commemorating performances of his operas. Incense wafted through the air, and only the music of the maestro was allowed to waft with it.